Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Donna Wortham, host of Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., Blog Talk Radio program, and we are here today to equip and empower the body of Christ. We do have a special guest with us today who's going to share some insight into how life coaches, Christian life coaches, can also help pastors. And he is called a coach for the pastors. So we're looking forward to getting some very good insight from him. And he's going to also tell us a little bit about himself and his organization as well. So we do welcome you to the show today. And I would like to say, again, I just want to say welcome. Thank you to the audience. Kurt, I do have your microphone open for you. Can you
hear
me okay?
Can you
hear
me?
Yes, I can hear
you
fine. Great. I can hear you fine. Kirk, would you like to open us up in prayer before we start the show today?
Sure, be my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Heavenly
Father, we love you. Lord, we love you. We welcome you to this time. Pray that you'd use it, Father, for your glory. You'd advance your kingdom, Lord, in and through our lives. You bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ and redemption to our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kurt, for the prayer. And I want to start off a little bit about, you know, can you, rather than I tell who you are and what you do, can you go ahead and open up and explain to the audience a little bit or tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're doing well. I spent about 15 years as a pastor and a church planter, and then I went to and during that time, I went to seminary at Fuller in Pasadena, specifically so that I could study Christian leadership development with a professor there who was, I guess you'd say, world-renowned in the area of Christian leadership development. And his name is Dr. J. Robert Clinton. I had the privilege of taking classes with him, being mentored by him, and traveling and ministering with him, which was a tremendous gift to me and has had a big influence on shaping the way I coach pastors, the way I coach church planters, the way I coach Christian leaders and denominational execs. But way before I went to seminary and way before I was a pastor, I actually received a word of knowledge from somebody back when I was just a layperson in the church that one day that I would pastor pastors and lead leaders, and didn't know what to make of it, so I just hid it away in my heart, and so God began to bring it to pass. That call has been confirmed many, many times over and over again, probably dozens of times now, as I walk with pastors and Christian leaders all across the U.S., For the last 14 years, I've been a leadership coach to pastors and denominational execs and a consultant to churches, functioning with an international missions agency called Church Resource Ministries. CRM has about 450 staff in 25 countries. The thing that unites all of us is leadership. We're committed to strengthening the leadership of pastors and church planters worldwide. What's strange about CRM is that we are missionaries to the church, not from it. And so that's kind of been my orientation. Also, I want to mention this, that for the first 5 years that I was with CRM, I was also volunteering with a powerful Christian character development ministry. They hired an executive coach, a phenomenal coach named Eddie Jacobs, who God powerfully used to challenge my assumptions about my life, interrupt the games that I was playing to try to get people to like me. And he called me really to live, called me up to live all in for Christ. I had the privilege of somebody else paying for that, and so I benefited from having an executive coach for almost 5 years before I began to coach anyone. So there's a bit of my background. I hope that's helpful, Donna. Any questions that that come to your mind?
Awesome. That is great. You know, I saw that, you know, on your website that you perform leadership coaching, also Christian leadership coaching. Or can you tell us what type of problems your ideal clients are facing when they come to you and they're looking for a resolution or, you know, someone to help coach them along the way so that they can achieve their goals?
Excuse me for my scratchy throat, by the way, Don. I've got a bit of
a cold. Oh, sorry.
I'm trying to kick. That's all right. So forgive me for coughing into the phone. Yeah, it's fascinating because I would say the thing that connects almost all of my clients who are pastors is that they feel like Bible school and seminary did not adequately train them for what they're up against. To be a successful pastor today in the United States in our cultural context, I believe that you've got to be a leader, you've got to be a people developer, and you've got to be a change agent. And none of that is stuff that most of us learned in seminary. For most of us, our role models of preachers from generations back are completely inadequate for us to model ourselves after the function and the challenge of today. Someone described my job as taking librarians and making Navy SEALs out of them. So it's a challenge. It's a really challenging thing for a pastor to try to lead in this environment, an environment that's, I think, becoming increasingly hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Becoming increasingly hostile to evangelical Christianity, you know, those of us that are foolish enough to actually believe the Bible and stand on it. And so pastors come toward me for coaching for lots of reasons. You know, they have staff conflicts. Maybe they're stuck in a ministry plateau. They're trying to merge two congregations together. Oftentimes they've accepted a call to a much larger church than they've experienced up to that time. Sometimes they just need fresh direction and vision. Many times they're frustrated about the impotence of their congregation to impact the greater community. End of the day, Don, it all boils down to the pastor's development of her or his character. They need to grow in who they are in Christ. They need to be stretched. They need to trust God more essentially, more deeply, more, I guess you could say, frighteningly, and leap into the unknown. And almost nobody chooses to go there on their own. So they hire me, and we go there together.
Now, that is great, the way that you explained it, because I also saw one of the testimonies from one of the persons that you assisted, and they indicated that you didn't use traditional coaching models or techniques. You were so genuine about what you were doing. Can you, for possible coaches that are out there that may be listening in the audience, can you kind of explain how your approach that leads to transformation, because a lot of your testimonies state that you are transforming, that you transform the culture in the church environment. Quite a bit different because most coaches use models or techniques to reach out to the population or in groups or in just one-on-one individual client communication. Can you give a little bit of insight as to how your approach on transforming, you know, groups or, you know, or individual clients?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Thank you for asking, Donna, and thanks for noticing, taking the time to read some of the testimonials on the website. I'm humbled and amazed, really, at the fruit that God has chosen to produce through the coaching that I've gotten to do, and I really am so grateful to Him for that. But let me start this way. So how I define coaching, coaching is, in my understanding, is an intentional relationship that supports my client to be the kind of person who moves toward responsibility and risk so as to maximize their God-given potential. Let me say it again. Coaching is an intentional relationship that supports my client to become the kind of person that moves toward responsibility and risk so as to maximize their God-given potential. So said another way, I'm not a coach to try to help people get over their hang-ups or to feel better about themselves or to calm their apprehensions about life, because life is challenging and daunting. But what I am committed to do is to champion them to live more courageously and more authentically and more vulnerably, leaning on Jesus and needing Him more and more each day. And putting themselves, honestly, in places where they do need it. So I learned from a guy named John Whitmore, who wrote a book called Coaching for Performance, that the two key roles of a coach are awareness and responsibility. So my job with my clients is to create an environment, a relationship where awareness and responsibility happen. By awareness, what I mean is that I'm committed to be with my clients in such a way that they become aware of things that they weren't aware of before we work together. So they have discoveries, in other words, or aha moments. But discovery or awareness alone isn't enough to change how somebody's living. One of my concerns about some of what people do in therapy is the assumption that if you understand why you're the way you are, you'll suddenly change. And yet all of us know people that haven't been changed, although they can tell you why. You know, they were raised by crazy parents or they grew up in a very difficult environment. So that's where the second piece comes in, which is responsibility. I'm committed to be with my clients in such a way that they choose to take responsibility for what they've discovered, what they've become aware of. So I'm constantly championing my clients to make a decision. So what are you going to do with what you learned? What risk are you going to take? How are you going to trust this week and live differently because of what you say you've just figured out? And Donna, the plumb line for how I evaluate whether I'm succeeding or failing as a coach is simply this. Is my client living God's calling all in? Is my client living God's calling for their lives all in? I get to champion my clients to live all in, trusting Christ, to have the difficult conversations they need to have with an elder or a trustee, stepping out from behind the facades maybe that they've erected long ago, to try to make life manageable or to get people to like them, to stand as an interruption to whatever it is that's keeping their congregation living puny, self-centered, non-influential lives. I want to call them out from that. And I ask my clients for the permission to do that. Amazingly, they do. And since they do, I go for it. So, you know, let me offer this. So, okay, fine, getting people to live, you know, their understanding of God's will for their lives all in. What does that look like? Most of us would say, well, we're probably living all in as best we know. And yet my experience in life is such that you start out, you know, maybe as a new Christian or a young believer or a young adult in your maybe early 20s, and you've got great hopes for how God is going to use you to touch and change lives and advance his kingdom, right, and make a gigantic difference in the world. But along the way, things go badly. You have disappointments, discouragements. We have failures. There are betrayals that come. People that we trusted betray our trust. And each time that happens, it's just natural for every one of us to take a small step back. And as we encounter more and more disappointments and more discouragements, we keep taking steps further and further back. If you would, Donna, imagine that the room that you're in right now, maybe you're in an office, that room is the space that God made for you to live your calling. That's the space that God made for you to influence people for the glory of God, right? And, of course, where you belong is right, and where you belong is right in the center of that room, where you can move from end to end, from side to side, anywhere in that room without, you know, without any anything getting in your way. That's the way that God set us up, and that's the way I believe that God wants us to function in life, right in the center of the room where God's given us influence, like you're doing with this blog and with the radio broadcast and all that. You're extending your impact, your influence. But along the way, let's say that you may have met with challenges along the way. Of course you have, because that's how life works. And when these challenges come, when they don't turn out the way we hope, we take a step back, one step closer to the wall, one step further from the middle of the room. Before you know it, 15, 20 years go by, and you've backed yourself into the corner. Your back's up against the wall, and God made this great big room for you and me to function in, to have influence for Jesus Christ in, and yet we've got ourselves back to the wall because we're so afraid of being hurt again or of failing again or of it not working out. So simply put, my invitation and what I do with my clients and what you would have read between the lines in those testimonials, Donna, is I'm inviting these women and men back into the middle of the room, back into the life that God, you know, set them up for. And what happens as a result is that they kind of experience clarity about their calling, courage to go after it, and confidence to trust Christ, even when things don't go well, that God is with them and that God will meet them right in the middle of the room. So how did I do answering your question? Is that okay?
Well, it's so deep that I'm kind of engrossed in it myself. It's like I can listen to it for a long time because there's so much insight to what you're saying. And it actually is aligned with the testimonies that I have read about you. Like, for instance, Dr. Alan C. Bernthal, MD, he said that you were genuine. You were really interested in him and his family, and you were very honest. You had faith in God. You displayed so many different traits to him that, you know, allowed him to open up to you. A lot of pastors find it difficult to communicate their problems or their issues with anyone because they're afraid that when they do, they're going to have a repercussion of maybe it will get out into the population or the media or, you know, their congregation. What would you say to them? How do you communicate with them in such a way where they do open up? And if they don't know you?
Yeah. Well, I read a book that was very, very helpful to me years ago called The Art of Possibility, written by Xander. Can't think of his last name, but it's called The Art of Possibility. He's a symphony conductor and spends his summers doing camps for teenagers who are, you know, virtuosos at their instruments. But he gets Benjamin Xander, that's his name. gets performance out of these kids like no time in their lives. It's just amazing how effective he is with them. In fact, you can watch, there's some pretty great YouTube videos of him working with some students on YouTube. But in the book, The Art of Possibility, he describes this practice he uses of giving an A, which is to say that at the beginning of the semester, he gives every student an A in his mind. He walks up and down the rows, you're an A student, you're an A student, you're an A student, you're an A student. And so I just ascribe to my clients value out of the chute. I actually believe that they're capable of great things. I believe that they want to do great things for Christ. I believe that God is for them and with them. And I believe that that God's faithful. You know what I mean? God is faithful. He's been faithful to me and you, Donna, so many times. And God will be faithful to them. And so I just stand with them like it's true. You know, I'm committed to be with them like it's true. And so if this guy's a church planter and he's struggling, I actually believe he has the resource within him to plant really well and to advance God's kingdom in a way that really brings honor and glory to God. And I just continue to stand that way, you know, as long as we have relationship. And so for some reason, when people get that I'm for them, and they get that God is for them, hope and courage happen. You know, it's just like it opens up, and so they find themselves taking risks that they hadn't taken or weren't willing to take up to that point. And invariably, when we are willing to live at risk for Christ, Jesus meets us in the middle of whatever we're in. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. And I think even on this, you know, show today, I'm seeing that there's a lot of genuine interest and genuine, you're sincere about what you're doing. And that's what's so important, is that we, as the body of Christ, when we're helping each other, the Bible tells us iron sharpens iron, and you definitely are using the word of God by sharpening the iron of others so that they can grow, and it will equip the body of Christ. And that is what's so important now, because we don't want to be like Elijah's and run off into the cave and hide ourselves. We have to come out and use the gifts and talents and abilities God have given us to be able to sustain the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not only sustain it, but to increase it throughout the world. So I think it's great what you're doing, and I'm sure the audience will agree with me. You know, there's also Christian coaches out there that want to impact the body of Christ, and they find it difficult about how to get started. What key traits should they display, and what would you suggest for anyone out there that's listening today that want to really impact the body of Christ, not so much as grow themselves, but that are very sincere like you are in what you're doing? What would you say to them how about how they can get started, and also how they can have the best traits that will help them to be successful?
Got it. I think I understand what your question is. I'd be happy to go take a shot at it. The first thing I would invite is this, and this is actually an invitation, Donna, that I make to every pastor that I work with, and that is to be in the people development business. It's my observation that If you were an alien from some other planet and you visited the world and you walked into church and you observe what happens in most churches, I think you would conclude that churches are in the religious education and entertainment business. In other words, you take everything that we do in church, and it pretty much boils down to educating religious people about religious concepts and entertaining people around religious themes. You know, we call them fellowships or retreats or worship or small group. You get what I mean? Or missional community.
Yes.
But
totally.
The bottom line is, basically, if you study church, you'd conclude that they're in the religious education and entertainment business. I don't think Jesus had 5 seconds in the religious education and entertainment business. Jesus was a people developer. Jesus was a kingdom establisher and a kingdom advancer, and he was a model for a way to live in one's own skin that was so radical and so different than anything the Pharisees or the Sadducees or anyone on the face of the earth had ever seen before, that he literally turned the world right side up. And so for those of you who are aspiring toward the practice of the field of coaching or ministry in any capacity, my invitation is that you would become great at being a people developer. In other words, you make mature disciples. I don't mean just converts to Christ, and that's not easy. But it's one thing to get somebody to pray a prayer with you. It's a whole other thing for them to put the yoke of Christ around their neck and grow in maturity so that they look and live and react and are motivated by the things that motivated his heart. So my first invitation would be to join me in the people development business. We're in the business of making mature disciples. And whether you're a coach or whether you're a youth pastor or whether you're a senior pastor of a five-campus congregation, you're in the people development business. And your job is to make people live and behave like Jesus Christ more and more today than yesterday, more a year from now than they're doing today, and more 5 years from now than they're doing in a year. So that means we're in the change business. We're in the change business if you're in ministry or in coaching. And change means pain, right? So
yes.
We associate pain with change. I got to lose weight. That's going to require change. That means that's going to be difficult for me. It's going to be painful. So we get to invite our clients, and as a coach, you get to invite your clients to embrace the pain of change as they move from what they know to what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us resist change. So let me just say, just to start out, and the first response to your question is commit to being in the people development business to make mature disciples, people who
mm-hmm.
live like Jesus more and more and more. Secondly, settle it that you're going to be an agent of change, which means an agent of pain to some degree, to the people that you get to influence, whether you're a pastor or a youth leader or whether you're a Christian coach, you're going to get to do that. And so it's important that you become okay being uncomfortable and that you as a coach are okay when your clients are uncomfortable. Because if you are effective helping your clients to step into change, to actually change the way they're living, you're going to be inviting them into discomfort. Secondly, let me say this. I think what are some of the greatest key traits that they should display? I would say those, Donna, are curiosity and uncertainty. Curiosity and uncertainty. It's fascinating if rather than practicing maybe a pet list of 25 questions, we were just curious, more curious as people, more curious about the coaching client on the other end of the line, we would have all the questions we could possibly arrive at handed to us, ready-made, just out of our own curiosity. So I've said curiosity and certainty are essential postures to coach well. I got to be willing to be curious about my client. Huh, wonder why she said that. Huh, I wonder why she didn't say that. I wonder why her voice changed. I wonder what's behind that question. I wonder, you know, what she's thinking right now, you know, blah, blah, blah. I wonder how she'd coach herself. The other word I used was uncertainty. So curiosity and uncertainty. I say this, Donna, what you know conspires to undermine your effectiveness in coaching. What we know works in our effectiveness in coaching. Discovery is central to coaching, not just for the client, but for the coach. If I know what you're going to say in answer to my question, I shouldn't bother asking it.
Right.
I'm willing to suspend what I think I know, be with my client so that we're both searching for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, I have to suspend what I think I already know about how to plant a church, about how to merge two congregations, about how to lead a multi-site church. Get what I mean about how to do a building campaign? Whatever the presenting issue is, I get to suspend what I think I know so that I can be with my client curiously and sustain a posture of uncertainty. The third thing I'd say in terms of a key trait, and this will sound funny or surprising, is that I really want you to get great at using your smoke sensor.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, when you coach ministers, who, by the way, talk for a living, they have become very adept at blowing smoke. They have become very adept at talking circles around topics that they don't want to get to. Or leading us down the path to get us away from the real hot button issue that they know God wants to put his finger on. And as a consequence, it's essential for us not to be snowed, even while we're holding our clients in high esteem, but not to be snowed by their ability to blow smoke. And so I call
it,
use your smoke sensor, like a smoke alarm, right, in your kitchen. So when you fry something up and you create a bunch of smoke, there's an alarm that goes off. And that is part of our job as coach to say, you know, Kirk, I'm sorry, but I don't buy what you just told me. I don't think you're being straight with me. Forgive me for being so forward, but is there any chance that you were just dodging something that the Spirit of God was trying to get us at, get after?
Right.
So that's kind of what I mean by the smoke sensor. So it's an interesting juxtaposition, because on the one hand, I give my clients an A, and I really do believe God's best for them and in them. On the other hand, I also want to be aware that we are deceptive little buggers, we human beings. And we don't always say what's absolutely true all the time.
Yeah.
So I want to, you know, and that's right? And that's part of backing up into the corner of our lives. So I want to invite them back out in the middle of the room, which is where we're willing to be on record for what we truly believe.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's very important. I would like to – we have a few callers on the line with us. I would like to open up the call to see if we have any questions out there. Is that okay with you now, Kirk?
It's fine with me. Sure. Yep.
Okay.
Do you want me to speak at all to how people might get started in coaching?
I'm not sure exactly who's all out there, but we'll see if there's any questions, and then we can kind of work around them. Callers, we do have the microphones open now at this time. If you have any questions, feel free to ask your questions now. And if you're not asking any questions, I would like to ask that you mute your call. Hello, callers. I have opened the microphones at this time. If you have any questions, feel free to ask your questions.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a pastor, and I was listening to all that you said, and it is
astounding. And I was repenting, as you said, that there are pastors that don't tell the truth or blow smoke. You know, I was repenting because you never know where you have faltered in any way. So, one thing I want to ask you about, when you talked about the room and putting the person back into the middle of the room because of situations where they have backed up, been hurt or whatever, and went to the wall and kind of just stayed up against the wall to keep from being hurt. Please expound a little bit more on that, please.
Be my pleasure. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for paying attention. I'm really blessed by your question. Could you tell me your first name, please?
Yes, my name is Betty.
Betty, awesome.
Yes.
Betty, a friend of mine said this to me. It has changed my life. He said, love as if you've never been hurt.
Mm.
What if we would love as if we'd never been hurt? You know, to put our heart out there, to offer our hearts again, you know, to people who know us well enough that they could hurt us. And they have, you know, and people who have been close enough to us that in the past they have, you know, hurt us, maybe accidentally, maybe on purpose, but the bottom line is, you know, the more times that our hearts get broken, the greater the temptation we have to wall our hearts off to protect us from being hurt again. Does that make sense, Betty, so far?
Oh, yes, that do.
Okay, got it. All right, so that's an analogy to what I'm talking about with risk and trust. Like, what if we were willing to trust Jesus again as if we'd never been disappointed?
Mm.
You know, we planted this church. Annie and I, my wife and I, helped plant a church. And 3 years in, there was an affair, and the church blew up. Thank God it wasn't me or her that had the affair, but the affair happened. It happened right under our noses. It was two of our very best friends, both couples, and it devastated the church, just completely blew it up. We had to close it down, and I was just devastated. I felt like I was somehow responsible for not noticing the affair, you know, that was developing, anyway, I just felt I was responsible to some degree and that I had really failed God. And a friend of mine at that point in my life pointed me to a book called The Making of a Leader by Dr. J. Robert Clinton, the guy that actually was my mentor at seminary. And in the book, The Making of a Leader, he said, God uses every event in a leader's life to shape her or him, to make us into the women or men of God he's called us to be. If that's true, that means that even the things that I interpret as failures and disappointments and betrayals, God can use to bring me to maturity in Christ. And so I think, Betty, some of what I'm offering when I say, you know, the willingness to step back in the center of the room is the willingness to trust again and believe again and be disappointed again. And know that even in that disappointment, Jesus is still with us, and he's still for us, and he's still faithful. You know, the Bible says if God's for us, who can be against us? And I know you believe that. I know you believe that. I know you know that. But we get to be people, you and I, the three of us, Donna and Betty, you and I, who model for others that way of living, to stand in the middle of the room of our lives and trust him again, and trust him again, and trust him again. You know, when Daniel's three friends said to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12, our God is able to deliver us, O king, and he will. Mm-hmm. And even if he doesn't, and even if he doesn't, and even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. It's like, God, even if you don't rescue me, I'm not going to back into the corner of the room anymore. I'm going to stand out here in the middle of a room where I look like an idiot unless you show up.
Amen. That is awesome. You don't know how much you added to my heart.
Amen. Amen. And is there any other callers that have any questions that they would like to ask at this time?
I do.
Okay. Feel free.
Okay.
I think please state your, at least state your first name, please.
Belinda.
Great.
And I don't know if he answered this because I've been in and out of my work. I want to know, how did he know that he was called to do this?
Belinda, thanks for your call. How did I know I was called to
do this?
What do you mean by this? Coaching, or do you mean being a people developer, or what?
Coaching. I know you was called to. I just wanted to have, you know, how did you? Because I can listen to you and hear what you're saying and know that it was nothing but God because you yielded to him.
Yeah, honestly, Belinda, I think I figured it out gradually based on the fruit that started springing up around me. I used to travel for work. I was in sales, and I would travel for work. And if I was in a town I didn't know, where I didn't know anybody, I would actually get out the phone book, and I would call a church and invite the pastor and the pastor and the pastor's spouse out for dinner. Just because I was on a expense report, my meal was free, and so I would buy their meal. And I would just say, ask them, so tell me about your story. Tell me about life. What are you guys up against in ministry? And then we would just talk. And Belinda, at the end of those conversations, invariably the pastor would say, gosh, there's nobody in my life that I can talk to like this. I can't talk to my elders like this. I can't talk to people in my church like this. I can't talk to my district superintendent like this. Man, this is so helpful. And I'm not trying to say that everybody said it, and I'm not saying that that kind of feedback was instantaneous, but over time, people would say that, and I would pay attention to the feedback that they, my gosh, this is helpful. And I've learned to always ask the question, what will you take away from our conversation today? So, Belinda, when I'm wrapping up a coaching call or a conversation with a pastor, I'll say, so what are you going to take away from this? And if they say, well, nothing, then then I could be pretty clear that I didn't get much done that in that conversation. I didn't accomplish very much. So I had feedback along the way. I had that prophetic word that God gave me way back in, like, 30 years ago.
What did he say to you?
A pastor gave me a word of knowledge and said, one day you'll pastor pastors and lead leaders. And it was probably 15 years before I pastored a pastor or led a leader from when I got that prophetic word. But I tucked it away in my heart. I never forgot about it. I gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, if this is from you, you'll bring it to pass. I'm not going to force it to happen.
Right.
But the other thing, let me say this too, and here's another thing, another big reason that I got into coaching is because my wife said, hey, you're giving all your time away for free. You spend all day at church working, and then you spend all night on the phone with people. And you're robbing your family of their dad. And she said, if you're going to coach people at night, you need to charge for it.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while to get my nerve up to actually expect and ask people to pay me to coach them. When I started to charge, a lot fewer people wanted my opinion, wanted my advice. But the ones who do are a lot more serious about yeah. taking what we do and putting it in their lives.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I think the good thing about it is that you are impacting lives, and a lot of, hospitals are starting to consider coaches to help patients to come up and get past the well-being stage that they want them to get to. And even insurance companies are looking into having paying for health coaches to help people transition and keep away from having to go into health conditions that can be cost a lot of money. So it's beginning to be something that is, growing and has grown since 2012 tremendously. And a lot of people are looking for Christian health, Christian coaches, because they want someone who can provide biblical insight and also that are prayerful, relying on the Holy Spirit to help them to transition or transform or also achieve goals and be successful in what they're doing. So I believe that Christian life coaching will be here for a long time to come. And there are some churches even that pay for their leaders to be, to receive life coaching sessions and leadership coaching sessions so that they can grow and, become equipped and empowered. So I think it's a great thing for the body of Christ. I will take one more question from the audience.
I'd just like to make a comment. This is Minister Theresa White, and I just keep hearing you make the comment about the middle. And I woke up this morning in prayer, and the Lord had led me to pray for the people in the middle, for us not being backed into a corner, but being able to stand firm, being holy, and not feeling as though we have to be shaken by the ways of this world. But that word that you keep using is what the Lord had placed on my heart, and I was in prayer this morning with Reverend Betty, and I was praying about the middle. Thank you, Lord.
Great. Very fine. Thanks for the comment. And we do have a few more minutes left here. We're getting down to the 10-minute mark. So I want to open up the door now for you to be able to share your details with the audience. And we also have those that are listening live online today as well. So if you can state your information clearly, Kurt, for the audience so that they can be able to write it down and possibly contact you in the future if they need your coaching services.
Thanks. What a huge privilege that you give me, Donna. Thank you for the gift that this is. And thank you so much for the invitation. My name is Kirk, K-I-R-K, Kirlin, K-I-R-L-I-N. And my email is my name, kirkkirlin@cox, C-O-X, .net. So it's K-I-R-K, K-I-R-L-I-N, @cox, C-O-X, .net. The website is Kirlin, K-I-R-L-I-N, coaching.com, www.kirlincoaching.com. And people can reach me by phone as well. Area code is 714-299-7774. I'm out in Southern California. Area code is 714-299-7774. You asked me, Donna, to to prepare a question, what would you say to those who are seeking a life coach in the audience? Can I take a shot at that?
Yes, please do. I was actually getting ready to ask you that.
Oh, good. All right. Well, let me just do this. Let me let you take over since I've given you my information. And
I would love for you to go ahead and answer the question because I think it's a good please do ask the, answer the question if possible for the audience.
Okay. Got it. Okay, good. So if you're out there and you're thinking about hiring a coach, I'd like to share this statement with you. The most important leader for any leader to take through change is that leader, her or himself. In other words, self-leadership is the most important job any leader has. And frankly, the most difficult person that I've ever had to lead is me. So if you are thinking about hiring a life coach, I'd like to invite you to get really clear about whether you're actually ready to lead yourself through change. Are you ready to take yourself by the scruff of the neck or by the ear or by the collar and actually change what it is, where it is in your life that you recognize that you're stuck? If you're not really ready, you'll be wasting your money and you'll be wasting your coach's time, until you are ready and willing to lead yourself through change. So that may sound a little cruel, but honestly, coaching isn't just about two of us hanging out and chatting for an hour every few weeks. It's really about seeing the kingdom of God advanced in your life. And you'll spend a lot more time with yourself apart from your coach than you will on the phone with me or whoever's coaching you. So my challenge to you, my invitation to you is get clear about your willingness to lead yourself through change. And when you're clear about that and you just need somebody to support you and how you might go about it and to stand with you and champion you and support you when it gets difficult, then feel free to reach for a life coach at that point. I think that would be the best advice I could give. If, however, you're interested in coaching and you want to know how to get started, let me take a little swipe at that since I think I have a couple minutes left. Donna, feel free to interrupt if I don't have time for it.
Feel free. Go ahead. You're fine.
Thanks. So the first thing I'd say if you're aspiring to be a coach, thinking about becoming a coach, is to get clear about the kingdom difference you believe God wants you to make. What is the fragrance of your life? What is the fragrance of Christ lived out through you? And get really clear about it so that you know what it is that you're offering and you'll know whether it's happening or not in the life of your client. That's my first thing. Get clear about the kingdom advancing difference you believe God wants you to make. You may want to hire a coach to help you get clear about that. I can think of several that would be excellent for that, including myself. I think I'm pretty good at it. Number two, I attended a 60-hour core competency coach training class offered by a company called Creative Results Management. They are Christian, soundly Christian, evangelical, Bible-believing, and excellent. It's ICF, International Coach Federation certified. Again, it's called Creative Results Management. Their core competencies coach training class is excellent. I did it. I got ICF certified. That's through the International Coach Federation. I would recommend that as well. I would also encourage you to hire a coach so that you could be coached and experience a great coach working with you while you're in your process. The fourth thing I would say is practice. Do a lot of coaching, even if it's for free. where you practice the coaching methods that you learn at Creative Results Management and that you got through the ICF. There are 11 core coaching competencies that ICF requires and establishes and certifies people toward or for as coaches, and I would recommend that to you highly. So again, real quick, get clear about the kingdom difference you believe God wants you to make. Go to Creative Results Management's website and check out their core competency class. Hire myself or somebody to coach you. Practice with friends. Even if it's for free, do lots of practicing and get certified through the ICF.
Great. We've received a lot of great insight today to help pastors to be able to become equipped and empowered and also come out of the caves or the walls that you're facing and be able to have a quality life coach that can help you through the process to transform in the direction where you need to go. And there are three key things that I picked up that's very important, and that is that you have to be a leader, you have to be into people development, and you want to be a change agent. A change agent and an agent of pain to help the followers, to help them to go to the next level where they need to go. Is there any final words that you would like to share with us now, Kurt?
One last question that you asked me to pair, which was, do I offer a free session, an intake, and I do.
Yes.
Every prospective client gets a free one-hour consult with me, so I'm happy to offer that to any of your listeners. It would be my privilege to do that. If they're serious about growing, I would be willing to give an hour of my life to champion you to have that happen. And if it goes well and you want to hire me as your coach, I'd be delighted to consider that as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Because even there are still life coaches out there that do not even give a free session. So, again, Kirk Curlin is offering a free one-hour life coaching session to the audience today. So if you are a pastor or a leader or an individual that is seeking to find a quality life coach, feel free to contact Kirk Curlin, and he gave us his phone number details and his website. And I'm going to give the website. It's K-I-R-L-I-N coaching.com. You can reach him there to be able to communicate with his contact. He also provided us with a phone number, 714-299-7774. And you can contact him at his email address, which is Kirk Curlin. Net, is it .net again, Kirk?
Perfect. Yes, perfect.
Okay. So that's K-I-R-K-K-I-R-L-I-N at Cox.net. So feel free to contact him for your free session. And, Kirk, I really do thank you for being a part of the show today. You have been listening to Donna Wortham with Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., Blog Talk Radio Show. And we thank everyone for being a part of the show today. And as always, we would like to say we love you all, and you're welcome at any time. Kirk, would you like to close us out in prayer as we end the show today?
Sure. Father, thanks so much for this hour you've given us. Lord, thanks for the life and the breath that we have this day to love and serve you. Advance your kingdom, God. Rescue our nation from itself. Lord, awaken your church, embolden her to live the glorious gospel in authentic and consistent ways that provoke and change the society around us. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for lifting up the nation. And Kurt, again, I really do appreciate you taking out your time. You seem like a very busy person. So I also am very humbled and thankful that you took your time out to come and join us today. And to the audience, again, I'd like to say we do love you. Feel free to continue to communicate with us on Kingdom Empowerment Magazine, where we will get your prayer requests and any other requests you for shows that you would like for us to bring up in the near future. And I just want to say to everyone, may the grace of God be with you and have a wonderfully and blessed day.
God bless you. Bye-bye.